Well, if we try to sum up the message of this passage this evening, I think it is something like, beware the fool in high places. Beware the fool in high places. In Proverbs, which of course is also mostly written by King Solomon, we're given frequent warnings to avoid the fool. Don't be a fool. Verses like, go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise your wisdom. And in this passage, Solomon is saying something very similar to us, but in a more poetic way, and by giving us examples of foolish behaviour. But again, the real goal is so that we'll learn not to be foolish ourselves, and we'll learn to avoid those who are fools. So it's important, before we look at the details, to remember that in the scriptures, being wise and foolish are really moral categories. Wisdom and foolishness are not about being book clever or not, or having lots of knowledge. The wise are those who fear God and live accordingly. The wise person acknowledges God and that the world works certain ways because God is its creator and judge. And the fool is the person who doesn't acknowledge God. So they try to live without God or even in defiance of God and his ways. Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the wise are the humble of heart, who will seek God, who will listen, who will learn. And the fool is the proud person who thinks they don't need any of that help. So in Ecclesiastes in particular, what we've been hearing is the wise person fears God and acknowledges life is a breath. Everything in this world under the sun is vanity. It's a breath. It all passes away so quickly. And what really counts is that in the end, you will give account to God. And so true wisdom is you live your brief breath of a life in a God-fearing way. Whereas the fool is thinking only of now. He cares nothing about judgment. There's no thought of death. He avoids that reality. Now, of course, when you have that true wisdom, that fear of God, that leads to you being wise in other ways. You can learn wisdom how to solve problems, wisdom how to understand people, because you're standing on the right foundation. And of course, if you don't have that and you're a fool, you'll become foolish in many other ways. You'll stumble in many ways. But when we look at this passage, we must remember the fool is above all someone who doesn't fear God. And that shapes them. And in this passage, Solomon's not just warning us about fools generally, but the particular danger of a fool in a high place. All the way through this chapter, he keeps coming back to kings and princes and a royal court and advisors to kings. He's not just warning us about fools, but the grave danger of a fool being in a position of power and influence. And this fits with what I've suggested to you about Ecclesiastes. I think Ecclesiastes is very much at times Solomon preaching to other kings. Here is the wisdom I have learned God has given me. If you think of the Queen of Sheba when she came to him to hear his wisdom, this is the kind of thing that he would say to them. And he's warning them here, how to govern wisely. Well, be careful you don't put a fool into power. This is what he's saying in verses 5 to 7, really. It's an evil under the sun when folly is set in great dignity. It's an evil, it's a bad thing when a fool is in a high place. And the rich, which is meant in a positive way here, the wise, the successful people, the princes of the land, the nobles, are put in positions underneath like their servants. Or worse, if we think about verse 16, what if the king himself is a child? And again, that's meant in a negative way there. Either I suppose literally he's a child because he'll be ruled by stronger advisors around him, or in the sense he's also a fool, foolish like a child. Interestingly, Isaiah chapter 3 says that one of the ways God disciplines a nation when it's sinful is he gives it foolish leaders, weak leaders. But if someone gets in that position, it's a disaster. So if you look at the end of chapter 19, for example, you've got this contrast between a poor wise man who through wisdom saves his city. But then Solomon laments, often the reality is that words of the wise spoken quietly are not listened to because they're drowned out by the shout of fools. And he says, one sinner destroys much good. So all the good that wisdom can do can all be spoiled by one bad egg, the loud fool who's in power. And their foolishness destroys everything. The same way he goes on to say that, you know, a dead fly can spoil a perfumer's ointment. I suppose the equivalent today maybe would be something like you go to a fancy restaurant and you order some lovely fresh soup and there's some dead fly in it. You think, well, I don't want to eat the rest of that now. The whole thing's spoiled. The foolishness of one fool in high places can destroy so much. And again, all of this, of course, is to make us want to pursue true wisdom and avoid foolishness. So there's applications here to work, to leadership, whether in the church or your business or in civil government. In all these places, beware the fool in high places. Maybe we could even say this could apply to our companions and friends. Be careful of the company you keep. So what does Solomon say about the fool? Well, first, that the fool has a flawed character. His problem is that deep down, he's not a good, godly person. Their foolishness is not just ignorance from a few mistakes. It's not the naivety of youth. The fool is a deeply, morally, spiritually flawed person. See, if you look at verse 2, it says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. And then even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom and shows everyone he's a fool. Now, there's some Hebraisms here, some kind of Hebrew turns of phrase. And what he's saying is that the wise man is led by his heart to the right. And the fool is led by his heart to the left. And to the right traditionally represents honour and glory and what's good. And the left, hope nobody here is left-handed, not meant in a bad way. But to the left traditionally means shame and dishonour. And so Solomon's saying the problem is there in the heart, in the fool's heart, he leans left. There's this bent in him, this flaw within him. He leans left. A flaw character. So much so, even when he appears to be getting some things right and is walking on the way, he still ends up making a mess of it and looking and acting like a fool. He can't do right for doing wrong. Verse 4, they are impatient and they're proud. If the king or the ruler rebukes you or challenges you, again, imagine speaking about somebody in the royal court. Think of advisors like Ahithophel and others who would like those wise advisors to David. Well, if the king rebukes you, don't walk off in a huff, he says. That's what the fool does. It's pride. Well, who are you to talk to me? Who are you to say I'm wrong? You don't flounce off in an immature way. And then in verses 8 to 10, again, we've got to understand, you know, these statements of pithy wisdom, I suppose, you know, you could take them just out of context and still benefit. But in context, again, he's still talking about the fool. And Solomon's saying they make a rod for their own back. With kind of biting irony, he says they work hard, but it never ends well. They only make things worse. They'll dig a pit, but fall into it. Break down a wall, get bit by a serpent. Chop wood, but hurt themselves. They're not careful. They don't prepare. They don't think. They don't plan, like the wise person who knows to look to his tools. So they might even put forward a lot of effort and energy and sweat and tears. But the fruit is always they cause more problems, even to their own hurt. So beware a fool in a position of leadership. This is what their work will be like. They're not helpful. They're not productive. See, there's wisdom that you learn to do things God's way. And by and large, in this world, despite its fallenness, wisdom knows how the world really works, what really profits, and you need to prepare, and you need to study, and you need to listen. And Solomon says, you know, wisdom works smarter, not harder. But all these things, the fool doesn't know. And then in verses 11 to 15, the fool also doesn't control how they speak. Even, you know, they can talk a good game and make big boasts, but it's all hot air and their words come to nothing. The lips of a fool will swallow him up. He'll get caught in his own words because he lies and exaggerates. He's like a snake charmer who gets bitten by his own snake. His own poisonous words will come back to bite him. He multiplies words. He talks too much. They're a know-it-all, self-righteous, pompous. They don't know when to be quiet, to be humble. And even here, Solomon talks about them boasting about, well, who knows the future? Well, they act as if they know the future. They've got it all figured out. And yet, Solomon says, they don't even know how to get into a city. And what he's trying to say there is, he's almost mockingly saying, look at those big, wide gates of your city there that anybody can walk right through. This fool who wants to tell you where to go, he doesn't even get that simple thing right. It's a bit like saying, a fool promises you the moon, but he can't find the front door. We're given so many warnings in Scripture about our tongues. And there's this strong connection in the Scriptures between being a fool and having a loose tongue. There's so many examples of that in the Proverbs. Think of the letter of James. A fool shows himself in his words. So we're to guard our tongues, control what we say, subdue what we say, watch what we say. But not only does the fool let his mouth run, he's also self-indulgent and lazy. He doesn't have self-control. So look at verses 16 to 19. Solomon's saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a feast at the right time to strengthen you. God's given us food, wine, laughter for times of celebration. Remember one of the great messages of Ecclesiastes, there's a right time for everything. There is a right time to celebrate and a right time to mourn. And the wise person knows when it's right to do those things. But the fool, by contrast, instead of working for the kingdom, well, they're living to party. They are feasting when they should be out gathering in the harvest. There's a leak in the roof they need to get to, but they're too busy drinking. They just want to selfishly indulge themselves. The house is on fire, the ship is sinking, but they're focused on all the wrong things and just having a good time. In it for themselves, so they don't work diligently, they don't sacrifice. So again, the fool, he doesn't control himself and he doesn't know times and seasons. So there's a lot more that could be said, but I hope that gives you an overview of this chapter, how it all holds together. As Solomon the wise king is saying, there's a great danger of listening to fools, of the person who doesn't fear God. Don't follow them. Don't put them in a position of influence. But we are meant to apply this to ourselves. Solomon is holding up a mirror for us to take a hard look at ourselves. Have we acted in any foolish ways? Do we resemble the fool in any way? Are we using our brief time well to serve the king and the kingdom as we should? Are we working wisely, profitably? Are we controlling ourselves and our words for the good of the kingdom? And Solomon is, I think, saying, be careful about the company you keep, whether that's in the workplace or who you might hire, who you vote for, who's in leadership of any institution. Carefully you choose as friends. Beware the fool. And so above all, we must pursue true wisdom to make the most of our brief breath of a life. True wisdom is to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what matters is godly character. That's what really matters. Following God's word, wisely profiting, using your time well, with the wisdom that comes from above. And then we won't be fools, but we'll be good servants of the King. We'll bear fruit in his kingdom. So may the Lord give us all the grace not to listen to fools. Amen.